right. Let the minutes show that the board returned from executive session at 7:23 p.m. All right.
I would like a motion for our director, basically a total compensation increase, recommending a 5% salary increase retroactive to effective pay period 1, beginning 12/19/2022, and a 50% OPRS pickup effective pay period 8, beginning 3/27/23. Now, just so you know, the OPRS pickup could not be retroactive. So, therefore, we're recommending a one-time bonus of $1,761.21 to offset the no retro OPRS pickup during the first 7 pay periods. This one-time bonus is to be effective for pay period 7, beginning 3/13/2023. Do I have a motion?
You made the motion.
Do I have a second?
Any discussion? All right, Mr. Humphrey seconds.
Yep.
Do we need a roll call vote for this?
Yes.
Roll call vote, please.
Okay. Ms. Dodd?
Yes.
Mr. Cardinal?
Yes.
Ms. Wade?
Yes.
Ms. Kosika?
Yes.
Ms. Lyon?
Yes.
Mr. Humphrey?
Yes.
Mr. Raymond?
Yes.
All right, motion carries. Mr. Cardinal?
And like a motion for our former fiscal officer, Maura Gray, since we were about the business of evaluating both the director and fiscal officer, and then Maura terminates employment, you know, we are into the process and we knew something was going to be approved for her, so we were recommending a compensation as a one-time bonus effective pay period 7, beginning 3/13/2023. And it's basically 100% OPRS pickup equivalent for the first 6 pay periods.
Do you have the amount you want to share?
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
The OPRS contribution is $386.08, and for the total of 6 pay periods, we have a total of $2,826.11.
So Mr. Cardinals made the motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
All right, Mr. Ramos seconds. Roll call vote, please.
Ms. Dodd?
Yes.
Mr. Cardinal?
Yes.
Ms. Wade?
Yes.
Ms. Kosika?
Yes.
Ms. Lyon?
Yes.
Mr. Humphrey?
Yes.
And Mr. Ramos?
Yes.
All right, motion carries. Thank you. Okay, next item on the agenda is public participation, and our seats are empty, so I think we can move on past that item. Next, we're going to have the fiscal officer's report, so we'll hear from our deputy fiscal officer to review the February financials.
You have the February 2023 financials. They consist of the bank reconciliation, the check register, the Anthem check register, the check register for patron refunds and staff reimbursements, and then we have the month-to-date and year-to-date fund reports, followed by the month-to-date and year-to-date bank reports, the end-of-month balancing report, the PLF report, and then we have some housekeeping for later. Any questions?
I got the registrar or the supplemental information late this afternoon, but I had some questions based on the bills that we received.
Okay.
And My concern is basically the amount of money paid to Evans Landscaping Incorporated for $21,803.25, of which $12,749.50 was for 2023 snow removal for the first quarter. And then a leftover payments, which I know that I remember them last month and also in January, that we owed them an additional $9,053.75 for 2022. I know that December was awful, only because I got out of town right before the polar vortex exponentially came in. But the month of February, according to, and I was here the whole month of February, if it snowed, it didn't happen in Loveland, and the weather was inordinate for spring has sprung and didn't care about the groundhogs. So I'm just wondering, what was our payment to Evans Landscaping for the month of, or the year of 2022 for services rendered? Because my understanding is that we also have turf and scapes or something or other that does the landscaping. So this is strictly for snow removal?
These that were on this register here, I broke it down for you, but I can go ahead and let you know. The first two were for work, and this is from directly from the invoice, work performed on 1/22/23 due to 4 to 6 inches of snow and ice.
So January.
Yes. And then the next two were work performed on 1/22/23 due to light snow and icy conditions.
And I'm assuming that's at all 10 branches.
I believe so.
Okay.
Yes.
The next two were for work performed on 1/25/23 due to icy conditions. And then the last two were for work performed on 1/31/23 due to icy conditions. So there was a total of four invoices there, and it was all for January. That's on this register.
And that's for the first quarter of 2023, which came to that?
Yes.
$12,749.50?
Yes.
Okay. How do we get proposals for services such as this? We've had this discussion in the past, where before the first of the year or the last quarter of the year or whatever, proposals go out for the ensuing year for either HVA maintenance. I'm sure he's going he'll be able to tell me what we do here. But do we get competitive proposals or more than one, or do we just employ Evans for this particular job? And what is the annual cost for Evans? What did we pay in 2022? So you may not have that information.
I do not have
here.
that with me right now, but I will be sure to get it to you.
Yeah, I'm very much interested in what kind of money we're paying for 10 sites throughout the year for snow removal.
And I would actually even kind of back that up a little bit and say, how long is the contract with Evans? Is it an annual contract? Is there an agreement, whatever that might be? Is it every 2 years? Is it, because that will factor into that, right, Judy?
We have a yearly agreement with them.
Okay.
And we brought Evans on in November, right prior to my starting, and that was in 21. They came in as an emergency because we had nobody laid on for that snow removal service for 21 and into 22. So Evans came on, and I did not go out and bid out the contract for 23. For them coming in and doing a fairly decent job for us, I just stayed with them for 23 for 1 year. It is in my agenda for the upcoming year that we will bid that out to. I have competitive bids that have already reached out to me to ask for, be allowed to quote or bid for us.
Absolutely.
So they will be coming about.
So you can tell me what, so we had no one in November of 2021, and basically we're between a rock and a hard spot to have services rendered. What was their rate? Was their rate fairly competitive, or was it a situation where it's snowing and I need to get these services rendered, you know?
Well, they base it on how much salt they use.
Okay, based on salt use?
And the hours that they are out plowing.
Right.
So it's based on what they have to do. Because, like, during January, we may have gotten just salt put out because of the ice and no scraping done and no plowing. So it's based on what services they provide on their trip out to us to the 10 branches.
Which is weather dependent.
Yes, depends on the weather, what it comes about.
Were we closed for any of those dates? Did we have a weather closure at all?
Oh, right now, I don't remember.
Okay. I'm just curious.
Community Green was the vendor that we used the year before, and they pulled out with very little notice, and that left us scrambling. We've had this conversation off and on over the years. It's very hard to find a vendor who will work, who has the capacity to work throughout the county, and then everyone knows about the labor shortage and the cost of labor going through the pandemic. It was very hard to find someone, and the pricing did go up. And of course, the pricing just depends on the kind of weather we have. And we could have snow and ice up here, and we could have rain down in New Richmond. It's just very different across the county. So I think the river has a lot to do with that, but you're all aware of that. So
we've talked about having more than one vendor because of the 10 locations mm-hmm. of north and south, so that it was readily available, because trying to go to all 10 locations before 9 or 10 or even noon to be readily available and not have a liability issue with ice or snow or whatnot. So I would just like, I just thought this was exorbitant. Here we are, it's March 20th, first day of spring, and I, without knowing full well what we spent in 2022, okay, and I realize that that's the winter of 2021 into the beginning, but what is the amount of money that we are spending with this vendor for that, and are we going out for proposals? And you've explained to it that you just got here, here's this situation, they came to our quote-unquote rescue, and you just decided to keep them, but we are moving forward with getting proposals for 2023-2024 winter.
Yes, and we have, I found a vendor that will do, that's New Richmond address, that he will do all 10 of our, because he's in a very locale, that he's going to give us a very competitive bid. It's Morgan Excavating and Snow Removal. But I'm going to reach out back out to Evans and everybody else. And also another point that was a big increase for this year, there was a 40% increase in salt prices.
And fuel.
Yeah.
Yeah, that came up, that it was just outrageous. It was like, it went up 40%, and they didn't even know if they were going to be able to buy salt. That was one of the things that they were commenting on.
So this is a suggestion, because I know the townships do it. I can't imagine that if it's available, the county engineer buys salt at a bulk rate and whatever, and for townships and to. So I would reach out to the county engineer and ask whether or not in regards to having salt available, whether or not we would be applicable to that rate. Of course, we would pay him for the salt and whatever, and have a pickup area.
Okay,
I'm just saying.
I'll make a note of that.
If that was a 40% increase, that was drastic.
Yeah.
You know, understanding that you're at their mercy. I get it. We all are. Whether it's for oil or fuel or any of those kinds of things, and you got to have it. And the liability is not worth not having it. But to be proactive, and it's March, the first day of spring, we can get those documents out there to get proposals so that we can at least indicate, and I agree, I like getting Claremont County vendors. I think that, you know, they're taxpayers just like residents are and everyone else. So if we can have Claremont County vendors, that's great.
Thank you.
And I am assuming we do the same thing for HVAC. I know that a number of years ago, Tony brought this up because we didn't have maintenance on HVAC contract or a proposal and whatever. And so hopefully under all those kinds of things that are maintenance oriented, that we are doing it for all of them. So we are getting vendors from Claremont County if possible, and we are also getting the best bang for the buck. In other words, we're showing that we've got at least three proposals, or we had asked for at least three proposals, because that's and at the county, when we didn't bid it out, and didn't have to bid it out because of cost and whatnot, that they would get the proposal so they would make sure that we were in the ballpark, so to speak.
I'll have these conversations with Don.
Sure, go ahead.
Any other questions on the bills paid? Okay. All right. So, Melanie, are you okay if I go ahead with requesting motions? All right. So, I need a motion to approve the February 2023 financial reports.
So moved.
All right, Ms. Wade.
Second.
And Mr. Cardinal seconds. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion passes. Next item, February 2023 bills paid. Do you have a motion to approve?
So moved, Humphrey.
Mr. Humphrey moves. Do we have a second?
Second.
Ms. Lyons seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion passes. Third item under the financial reports, the February 2023 bills paid for Anthem.
So
do I have a motion? Ms. Kasika moves. Do I have a second?
Second.
Ms. Wade seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, please note for the record, I abstain from any vote, actual or implied, on that particular item. Motion passes. Next up on the agenda, our director's report.
For brevity, I won't get too into the report except for just a couple highlights. The Imagination Library is up to 7,082 enrolled as of today, which is a 52.3% increase. Not an increase, but a 52.3% of the children that are eligible in the county. Also, just to highlight that we did get a $50,000 donation from a local foundation that we're really thrilled about. It's supposed to be a continuing gift, so that will really go far to supporting this program in the county.
Is that from the beer company, Erica Yingling?
No. I'm not really sure. I haven't received confirmation of whether or not they wanted to maintain anonymity, so I didn't want to say the name.
Chris, in the last minutes, we had 52.2% or 7,072. Then when we got the document for March, it indicated that we had lost some.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're saying as of today, it's gone up 10 from what we had in February?
Every month, at the beginning of the month, they do the book ordering, and that's when the Dollywood Foundation, they graduate out the kids who've hit five.
Right.
So that's where you see that number drop every month, or change every month. And then, and so at the beginning of the month, when I wrote the report on March 10th, we had 7,034 kids.
Right.
Since then, we've now grown to 7,082. So we get kids go up every day. We can process enrollment. But the kids who graduate off happen just during that book ordering system when they mail out the books. And that's handled by the foundation.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. All right, so book leasing. We did have our meeting with the vendor, and I wanted to go back and kind of explain and answer some of the questions from last month. We are using Brodart, who has a book leasing program that's been in existence for over 50 years. And I said this last month, but just to reiterate, it's established, the reason it's established is to create access to more popular materials, enhance an existing collection, and reduce your holds list on copies of high demand titles. So what we're looking at is roughly 118 titles allowance per month, or 1,415 per year. And those float. So we can utilize the allowances we choose. So for example, April, May, and September, October are big publishing months. So we can kind of hold off and target picking up more of the popular authors during those months. We're not stuck with just 118 per month. We have up to 10% annual allowance for lost, stolen, or damaged items that is no cost to us. You asked about the time frame. The McNaughton program is pretty loose. They recommend keeping a suggested inventory of around 2,360 leased items at any one time. That can float over years, so it just depends. As long as you're enrolled in the lease program, you may have a title for multiple years, just depending on if the need is there, if it's popular and still in demand. If we exit the service, then we return all of the titles minus 20%, which we get to keep. The average copy of a leased book is $18 versus $22 plus for a purchase. So it actually saves us money. There's no monthly rental fees. I think maybe somebody may have been confused about that. We don't pay, like, if we keep this book out as leased, we don't pay a rental fee per month for the book. We just have the allotment that we have towards that price that we have.
So if we had 10 copies of a particular author and you're saying that the lease price is $18, it would be 10 times $18 as opposed to a purchase of 10 times 22.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
There is no limit to the number or the amount of time that we can keep it as long as we have an open lease.
That's correct. Yes. They like us to have around that 2,300 items leased at any one time. So, but the purpose, I explained this last time, is really to flush out our Lucky Day collection. I'll give you an example. So everybody's familiar with the book Where the Crawdad Sings. In order to meet our needs, of course there was a long waiting list for it, but in order to meet those needs we had to buy lots and lots and lots of copies. So we currently have 34 regular print titles in the collection. We don't need 34 copies now. There's 17 of those titles on the shelf right now. So lease would take care of that. We would just send those extra copies back. It's still popular. I mean, there's 20-something books still checked out. But we would just send those extra copies back and move on to the next. So it's really going to benefit our ability to meet demand quickly. For example, the... I don't remember the title. You will know it. The scoop on the Royal...
Spare.
So there was a huge, you know, interest in that title. We could have gotten lots of copies and have that available right off the bat. And then when the interest waned, then we can send them back. The other part of this benefit is there's no monthly rental fees. There's no shipping. We get a mark record. That's for cataloging purposes. It includes jacket labeling and the barcode, so all of it comes prepared. The leased items are fast-tracked, which is a benefit to us. As our collection development manager said, this is a big thing for us because we have had problems with fulfillment for orders, and items in the lease program are fast-tracked. The books go out within 48 hours, so we should see those much more quickly. So that's the leasing program.
How long is the agreement?
It's annual, so okay. Revise it every year.
Gotcha.
And what's the cost if their suggested is 2,000 and some odd books?
We're investing just under 25,000. So it's a very small amount of our overall collections allocation.
Annually, $25,000 annually.
Mm-hmm. We are getting a discount for being a first-year subscriber, so the pricing will adjust next year, but... It's still $25,000 for the benefits that we get. It's a small investment. We could invest more if we wanted to, but we're going to start out small and see how it goes.
Are those just hard books? They're not audio books?
We are just concentrating on the large print, regular print. Audiobooks is a format that is slowly going away. I don't know if you were on the board at the time, but the producer that stamps the discs, there's only one left in the country. So there's the access to music and other discs formats is going away. It's going to be harder and harder to get. More people are streaming. And the statistics support that when you look at it. We still are maintaining a very high level of usage on our e-formats. So we're looking at a dying format.
Okay.
I wanted to shout out about ABC Mouse. Everybody has heard ABC Mouse on TV. We've had a subscription for several years, but you had to be in the library. It's very similar to our genealogy database. You have to be in the library to use it. And they have just recently lifted that kind of subscription so that they've expanded it so that we can offer that now for home use. So that's going to start in April. I asked to hold off on signing that agreement until CED was ready with the marketing, because I don't want to have a subscription that people won't know anything about. The other thing I want to draw your attention to is House Bill 1. I share all this information with Melanie as it comes out. When Mara and I first talked about House Bill 1, this is creating all of this information is in your packet, so I won't get into the details. But when we first started talking about House Bill 1, Mara said she wasn't hearing anything from other fiscal officers or people that she knew in the county. The last time that we talked, just the day or two before she left, she was starting to get a little worried about it. So it is something to keep your eye on. If it goes through as it in its current form, we could see the PLF reduced by 25 to 34 million, but it also affects local taxes and homestead tax and things like that. So it can also affect our local taxes as well.
So that's statewide, right? Not just
yes, correct. Yeah. So we're keeping an eye on that one. We get weekly updates from OLC about that, and I think right now they're doing hearings on the bill and giving testimony on the bill now. All right, let me keep going. I got a call from Ms. Kasika about some of the items because we did not get the summary of the financials report out to her. There was a question about unique management, and I was looking at that bill more closely, and I went back to my director's reports, and I don't think I shared this information. We've talked about the need to spread the word about the library to non-users, right? I think in the board, somebody's even brought that up. So if you looked at that report, there's a purchase order for something called the New Mover service from Unique, and what that is a postcard campaign. They have access to the National Change of Address database. We design the postcard, which I'm going to pass around to you, and then they send that out to all of the recent change of addresses in Claremont County. And they're able to check our database, so if there's a cardholder at that address and we have that cardholder in our database, they won't get a postcard. So that saves us some money there. So we have allocated, budgeted money for two postcard campaigns this year.
And is that the price for both of them, the three?
No, that's just the first one. Mm-hmm. So that's that. Does anybody have any questions? And thank you for my compensation. I appreciate that.
All right, any questions for our director? All right, next item on the agenda is new business. Next and last item on the agenda is new business. So I am looking for a motion for resolution 2023-09, acceptance of gifts to the library, donations as listed.
So moved.
All right, I'm gonna call that as Ms. Kasika moved and Mr. Humphrey second, is that fair? All right. All in favor? Signify by aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Next item, resolution 2023-10, disposal of unneeded or obsolete library inventory. Do I have a motion?
Moved.
All right, Ms. Waite moves. Do we have a second?
Second.
Mr. Cardinal seconds. May I have a roll call vote, please?
Ms. Goff?
Yes.
Cardinal?
Yes.
Ms. Waite?
Yes.
Yes.
Ms. Lyon?
Yes.
Mr. Humphrey?
Yes.
Mr. Rana?
Yes.
All right, motion passes. Reminder that our next board meeting will be held on April 17th, and we will look for that building committee report at that meeting. Any other items for discussion tonight? All right, hearing none, do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Humphrey moves, Mr. Ramos seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
All right, motion passes. Meeting adjourned at 7:53 p.m.